Amen. All right, let's get into the word. We are still in Acts, the fifth chapter. Almost at the end, not quite there. Just give me the 18th verse, thank you. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them into the, say this with me, common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officials came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly we found shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest, that's a whole slew of folks, heard these things, they doubted of them, whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. We'll just stop right there for now. I'm going to try to go down to verse 32, but we will see how far we get. Say with me this morning, we can't lose. We can't lose. And excuse me if I preach this to myself this morning. You are here, but if you're, it doesn't matter. I got to preach this to myself this morning. I hope you get something out of it. Amen. All right. So they laid their hands. And as I said before, back to the 18th verse, they laid their hands. It does not mean that they got out oil and started speaking blessings upon their lives. No, they grabbed them with hostility, great hostility. Good to see you today, sir. And they put them into the common prison. And last week we learned about the fact that there was jealousy. Amen? If you weren't here last week, you need to get that sermon. Amen? And we learned how we deal with jealousy. But what led us to that word study was the fact that the Jewish council, the word says, was filled with indignation, filled with jealousy. Why? Because they are seeing that in spite of the warning that the apostles were given by them to stop preaching about Jesus Christ the first time, they completely ignored them. They didn't adhere to the council's authority. They didn't care. And this rebellion of that authority resulted in the church growing by the thousands at a very rapid rate. So the council this time was like, you didn't hear us before, we're coming again. They decide to arrest them and put them in prison yet again. So here's the situation. The apostles are following the leading of the Holy Spirit and obeying Christ. And of course, by doing that, what happens? They keep getting into trouble. Isn't that what it looks like for the believer? Lord, I've been serving you. I've been doing all I know how to do, trying to live holy, representing Jesus Christ. Why is it that I keep getting in?
Jesus didn't just come talking, he came with power.
Well, let's look at this one more time, but let's check.
They don't know what their
version of the Bible. Give me the Amplified version. Give me 2 Timothy 3:12. Indeed, say with me, indeed. All who delight in pursuing righteousness and are determined to live godly lives in Christ Jesus, I love this, will be hunted. Why? And persecuted. Why? Because of their faith. John 15, 18. We'll stay with this version for a minute. If the world hates you, and I love this, what they put in brackets, and it does. And it does, just in case you did not know. Know that it has hated me before it hated you. So this is the issue, people. Satan is mad. All those who are under his control are also mad. Satan used to be able to run things without a lot of hindrance. Okay? But Jesus came, showed up, conquered death, rose again, put his foot on Satan's neck. And now people are believing in Jesus, and you are beginning to look just like the one who has his foot on his neck. So how much do you think Satan likes you now? But especially you will be hated if you are being used in any way to snatch people away from the grasp of Satan. That's where the rubber meets the road. Amen. You got several folks that, not doing much. But if you're active, if you show up and God can use you at any kind of time or any kind of situation to say or do something that looks anything remotely like Jesus, you are a problem for the enemy. So, if the world hates you, and it does, remember that they hated me first. That's what Jesus is saying. So, of course, they are going to hate you. So the apostles are preaching the word, and just like that, they get into trouble. Once again, they get thrown into jail. Verse 19, chapter 5, Acts. What happened? But the angel of the Lord, by night, opened the prison doors and brought them forth. How many people know that no matter how much trouble you get into, the Lord will dispatch his angels? If you are doing what God has told you to do, the Lord will dispatch his angels. Amen? Amen. No matter what happens, you can, even if you die, even if Christians die in the service of the Lord, that's not the end for us. Amen? This thing is rigged, folks. Amen? We cannot lose. Hebrews 1:14 says this. Are not all the angels, ministering spirits, sent out by God to serve, accompany, protect those who, I love this, will inherit salvation? If you're saved now, you got backup. If you're not saved, but will be saved later on, guess what? You got backup. Oh, come on, somebody. Somebody didn't catch that. Will inherit salvation. God preserves those who are in him now, and he preserves those who will belong to him later. No, Pastor, I don't know about that. I remember I was in a hotel. I was on tour. The elevator was here. You get out the elevator, we were in a hotel, and my room was here. So there's a door here, and the elevator door is right here. I am in my bed, minding my own business after the show. I start hearing a bunch of curse words after the doors open in the elevator. My door is right next to the elevator. Then I start hearing brrr, 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 pop, 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 pop. I'm right here. That's where I am. And guess what? I wasn't saved. Nope. Not even close. I wasn't saved. All I had to do was decide at the wrong moment, I think I need some ice.
Oh my.
And I would have walked into something that somebody else would not have wanted me to see. Who did it? And some people may remember, I was with Boyz II Men, their manager got killed that night.
Now.
Right in front of my door. But God sends his angels to protect those, not who are just saved right now, but who will be saved. How many people know? I don't know how I made it. I know what I was doing. But somehow God washed over my life. I wasn't doing anything I was supposed to be doing. But God showed up. Rescued me from myself. I was on the wrong street, the wrong time, with the wrong people doing the wrong thing. Somehow, the mercy of God. Everybody else might have not made it. But the angel was sitting, not this one. This one belongs to me. Those who will inherit salvation. The angel. Amen. Psalm 91:11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. So, they are in prison. The angel shows up, lets them out, brings them forth. Why? The theologian, I love this guy, Barnes. You should read him. He's great. He said, for several reasons. To reprimand, reprove the Jewish rulers, and to convince them of their guilt in resisting the gospel of God. Ooh. So they didn't just get out for themselves. The Sadducees, and that word at that point in time, when a little bit further up in the fifth chapter of Acts, we saw it means heresy. Interesting. They didn't believe in the afterlife, remember? They didn't believe in spirits, they didn't believe in ghosts, they didn't believe in the Holy Spirit, and they definitely did not believe in any angels. So what does God do? He sends them an angel. I love that. God has a sense of humor. To reprimand them for their disbelief. What's the other reason? To convince the apostles, and I love this, more firmly of the protection and the approval of God. God approved of them doing what he commanded them to do. Go forth and preach the gospel. So they're doing that, and God is approving of them doing that. And also to send protection. Let them know that they are protected. Amen. You're doing what God called you to do, you're protected. You got backup. Amen. If God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. And number three, to encourage them more and more in their work and in the faithful discharge of their high and faithful duty. When you are working for God, things can get tough. Let me say that again. My Lord, ain't that true? When you're working for God, things can get tough. And things can try to discourage or seem to discourage you. And discourage you into giving up. What's it all for, Lord? What's it all for? I mean, I keep serving you, and every time I turn around and do anything, I get attacked by the enemy. There's some kind of pushback on my push forward. Amen? In those times, God will intervene to encourage your heart to keep going in spite of the difficulties that you may experience. Amen? So they don't just get out just for their own benefit. They get out also to make it known to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Jewish council, that they're sinning against God. Amen. Also, they're encouraged in their heart to keep going on, and they are learning that, hey, we got backup.
That's right.
Evidently, we packing.
Right.
Amen. Amen. So, back to 19th verse, I believe. 5:19. But the Lord brought them forth, and said to them, oh, I love this, go, stand, speak in the temple of the people all the words of this life. Interesting. Why? Because people need to know that without Christ, There is no life.
That's right.
Uh-huh. There is no life. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh conveys no benefit. It is of no account. The words I have spoken to you are Spirit and life, providing eternal life. Ooh, I love that. Let me just keep going. John 6:68. Simon Peter answered, you know, when he said, who do they say that I am? Uh-huh. You are the Christ, right? But then later on, he says, are you going to leave me? You're talking to the disciples. Are you going to leave me? You're going to leave me like everybody else left me? And Peter says, where should we go? You alone, my God, have the words, I love this, of eternal life. You are our only hope. You can't face God without Jesus. You have no life. People kill me all the time just talking about telling Christians, go get a life. Really? You go have life. How about that? You don't. Amen. John 5:21. He that hath the Son hath life. Woo, can't get any clearer than that. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Very simple. Got Jesus? Don't have Jesus? Amen. I don't care what you think you're living, you're dead without Jesus. You don't have Christ, you have no life. Amen?
Amen.
I love that. Back to Acts 5:21. And when they heard the angel tell them to go, stand, speak, what did it say? In the temple. Go back to the very place that got you in trouble in the first place. I love that. What'd they do? They heard that. They entered into the temple early in the morning, and what'd they do? They taught. Everyone knew that they were sent to prison. Now everybody will see them out of prison. They knew why they went to prison. Then they get a chance to see them doing the same thing again that sent them into prison. This is proof that God was working in them, that their message was true, that they were from God, and they had backup from God. They put them in jail, and that could not keep them. Mm-hmm. So this is causing a huge problem for the Jewish council and several others that are with them this time. Watch this. Because of this, the high priest came. No, that's not right, Jimmy. Back up. The high priest, yes, who thought they were still in prison. I love that. Came, and they that were with him, and called the council, that's the Jewish Congress. Okay? Democrats and Republicans are all together. Wait, we ain't done. Called them together. The Congress is there. And all the Senate. All right, that's code word for the elders. That's the retired Congress. All the, you know, the old OGs that know everything. They got all those people, okay? So you got the Congress and Jimmy Carter, okay? You got everybody. They brought George Bush. Everybody. They brought everybody out of retirement. All the advisors to the Congress, all the children of Israel, and they sent to the prison to have them brought out so we could talk about this. I want you to notice, and here's what we're getting to, that before it was just the Jewish Sanhedrin. Now there are people being added. They're getting more folks. Didn't we tell you last time to shut up about this Jesus? Don't preach in that name. We're going to go get the OGs. Plus us and our cousins and everybody. Now, for some of us, that may look like there are enemies being stacked on top of enemies being stacked on top of enemies. But I want you to see it another way. Can it also be that there's opportunity being stacked on top of opportunity being stacked on top of opportunity? Amen? It looks bad. But for the disciples, the apostles, now they're going, oh, this is good. This is wonderful. They got more folks to hear from me. Verse 22. But when the officers came and found them not in prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly we found shut with all safety. That means that all the locks, all the things to keep us in here, and locked everything to keep you shut up and locked down, they're all still in place. Not only that, he said, and the keeper standing without before the doors. So you got all the locks and the guards. We'll talk about the guards in just a minute. But when they had opened, we found no man within. So wait a minute. Did the angel open the door, let them out, and then say, hold up, let's lock the door back? Did he take the time to say, wait, hold up, Peter. Can't leave just yet. I left this a mess. Let me clean this up and fix their little jail cell. No. Or did they just walk through the gates? It doesn't really say. We don't know what happened. There are some things that you and I have been through. We don't really know how we got out. There's some people in this church. I don't know why you're sitting up in here today or how you. All I know is I was in trouble. I was in a mess. And somehow, some way, I got out. You can't tell me how I got from point A to point B. All I know is where I was, and suddenly, out of nowhere, I don't know what God did, but I'm out. Is anybody here like me? Well, I don't know what happened, but somehow I got out. I can't tell you what God did, huh? In trouble. I was like, Lord, how am I going to get out of this? But today, I'm standing free, set free, delivered. Come on, somebody. Oh, somebody better give God some praise up in here. I don't know how I made it out of that situation. I can't tell you how it happened. Some way, somehow, God brought me through. God brought me through. I don't know how. It says, not only were the doors shut and locked, and everything that was supposed to be in place was still in place. They don't know how they got through. But not only that, they put guards outside. And the keepers. Woo!
Come on.
There were keepers before the doors. You got an armed guard. Some of us have been in situations where the enemy assigned folks to keep us in the same place that we were in before, hoping that we would never ever get out. Hey! Come on, somebody. Folks that were in the same mess with you that were designed to keep you there. Woo! Come on, somebody. Here's the catch. They don't know how you got out. Wait. And then it says this. They were in the common place. They put them in the common jail spot. You know what that is? We call that in Oakland gin pop. That means you laughing because you know what I'm saying. That means you in there with every hook and crook. You in there with this is cell block D. This they ain't playing up in there. You got some of the rough ones up in there. And you're in there with everybody that's done everything and got caught. Amen. But watch this. It said it brought them out. Didn't it say it brought everybody out? You didn't get it. Some folks are still stuck where you used to be, and the craziness you used to be in, and the Holy Spirit decided just to let you out. And they still stuck. I was with that crazy Negro, and I made it out. Huh? I was in my sin, but I made it out. I was in craziness myself, but I made it out. Come on, somebody. God sent his angel and delivered me out and brought me through. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What's the song say? Angels bow before him. The angels work for God. Huh? The angels work for God. Somebody know what I'm talking about. That's a picture of their obedience to God. Yeah, let's move on. 5:24. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard all these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Now that's a statement that says, well, what is going on? I mean, ever since this Jesus person died, and they believe he didn't get up, we're seeing miracles. We put folks in jail over and over again, and they get out, and then they go right back, and they're preaching to the folks that we told them not to preach to. They ain't scared of us, because we can't lose. But of course, they try to threaten them. And verse 25 says, they came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. We just put them boogers in jail. And they went right back. They went right back to Times Square. And they got microphones this time. And they're preaching even louder. They're more encouraged now. They're bolder than ever. You know, they don't care. Look at the boldness. Look at the persistence of the apostles. Okay. They don't stop. They will not stop because the angel of God told them to get up and teach the very next morning. Now, some of us, if we go through an experience like that, we would say to ourselves, you know, God, I just been through something. You know, I was in jail for crying out loud, preaching your word. I'm working for you. Look what happens. I get put in jail. I mean, you want me to get up the very next morning and go to the temple and preach again? I mean, don't I deserve a vacation first? I mean, you know, I've been locked up. When people get locked up and they get out, isn't someone supposed to throw me a party? Where's the punch and cookies and the chicken? And here, baby, you've been gone a long time. We're going to hook you up. You want some greens? Just got out. I'm going to do a little sightseeing. I'm going to get out and look around a little bit. Come on, I just got out. It's all good now. Come on, let me have some fun. Somebody throw me a party. No? No. This is why we're still here, people. When we got saved, God could have taken us to heaven right then and there. For all of us who are looking for a vacation after salvation. That's not exactly what we're seeing in the Bible. Oh, thank you, Lord. Remember after Elijah, I believe, was preaching to the 450 prophets of Baal. And He had this great victory. And so much so that the people turned back towards God, killed up all the false prophets. And then this chick named Jezebel said, "You know what? I'm going to get you, sucker." And he ran for his life. And God said, "Well, let me give you some chicken." "Oh, let me just, you're going to be all right. I'm the only one fighting for you." He had a little episode. Remember that? He wanted to go into retirement. "I've already done a great victory, God. I've already gone down. I've been in jail for you, God. You know, let's, can I just hang up my boots now? Come on, you know." People tell me all the time, they say to me, Jamie Hawkins, and I don't quote this to make myself feel good. They say, "Jamie Hawkins, in some circles, what you've done was quite heroic." And the human side of me would say, "Yeah." You know, come to think of it, I did take a stand for Christ. Maybe we should just hang it up right about now. No. The angel said, "Get up the next morning. Go right back. Go stand. Speak the words of life." Amen. Acts 5:26. "Then the captain with the officers brought them without violence," because he's scared now, because the people could start a riot. Okay? So they tell him, you know, right this way, instead of laying hands on them forcefully. They're being smart, because there's a lot of things that are riding on this. This and Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Jewish council, all the elders and all their cousins are in league with the Romans. They are the left liberal theology politicians. Whatever the government wants to push is what they want to push. Amen? To keep the people enslaved. Amen? Amen? And they're being cool because all these people, they're doing miracles. They want to start a riot. Amen? And they've got all these people that are against him. But I want you to realize that this is now, see verse 26, it says, "And they brought them." They've been thrown in jail at least three times now. They've been arrested at least three times now. Two for certain in jail, three times now they're being brought in to talk to the council or having to answer to the council, okay? And right about this point, some of the best of us would get discouraged. Some of us would get angry. Some of us would fight back. "You know what? You put your hands on me one more time. You lay hands on me one more time." Some of us, you know, some of us are from Oakland. We don't play that. We got street gangs tattoos on our... You know, Edna's not playing. You can, some of us would stir up a mob. Hey, man, because you got the people on your side now. Huh? Start something on Facebook. Huh? Fan that flame of anger. Retaliate. Start marching on the Capitol for your rights. You see how we do? Give everybody your opinion. Tell everybody what you're thinking. This is not right. Apostles' lives matter. Oh, that's funny. Oh, no, we won't go. Oh, here we go. But I want you to look at the disciples' response. And when they brought them, they what? They went with them? They didn't fight back? Why did they do that? Well, the very next line says this. Go to 20,
7. And when they had brought them, they set them, guess what? Before the council. Stop right there for just a minute. They set them right in front of the same people to allow them the opportunity to hear the truth once again. Are you seeing a different perspective here? They are able to preach the same gospel to the very folks that rejected it before. Once again. Why am I going through this stuff? Watch this. Over and over and over again. Having to put up with the same people. Over and over and over again. Maybe it's so that we can continue to do the very thing that we are still here to do. My God. Why won't my boss quit? Over and over. Why am I having to come home to the same husband? Over. He ain't acting right. Save him, Lord. He's just the same. He sees me go to church Sunday after Sunday. Every night I got to come home to the same dude. Come on. Over and over. Watch this, people. I am now getting into a position to reconnect with some of the folks that I used to run with. They are still the same. But I'm not the same. I'm different. What's happening? God is just making it possible for me to get back in the same environment that I came from over and over again, but this time with a completely and totally different perspective and mission. Let your light so shine before for me so that I can see your good works. Glorify your Father. Wow. Jamie, is that you? The new version, yes. How you been? Long time no see. What you been up to? Oh, loving Jesus. What about you? Same old, same old. Oh, really? Can we talk about that? It's interesting that I just happened to run into you again. See what's happening? See what's happening? You are being a witness for Christ and being put in situations that are uncomfortable over and over again. Why? Why? Because people need to hear the truth. It's a setup. The sooner we realize that God is using us to be a light in these uncomfortable situations, then we will have joy in tribulation. We will have joy in persecution because we will know that it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the glory of God. And he just wants that. How many times did you have to hear the gospel? How many times did Sister So-and-so have to say, baby, baby, now look, baby. Hold on, but let me pull you aside one more Sunday. Let me talk to you one more time. Baby, you can't do that, baby. That's not. Come on, son. That's not the way to go. Son, come on. Boy, you need to be saved. That's. How many times? How many times was somebody patient with you? Amen. How many times was somebody over and over and over going to get with you? I see folks in here and I'm preaching the same thing. I got to get up every Sunday and say it again and say it again and say it again and say it again. Why? Because I was hard to hear him too. And until the Spirit of God enlightens your eyes and changes your heart, and then one day you go, oh, I get it. Thank God you dealt with me over and over and over. Again, don't forget it. Don't get high and mighty and forget it. So God sends us back into the battle.
That's what he does.
And in some cases, from the very places we came from. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I see it. It's happening in my life right now. I'm getting ready to do some things I never thought I would be doing again. And God has placed me right back in that environment. It's like, wow. But things are different. Like, my whole scope is like, I see things I didn't see before. Because I was so interested in making a hit. Now it's like, I just want to glorify God. I don't know why you're doing this, but I'm here again. All right. How are we going to do this time? Well, we're going to do it for the glory of God. See the difference? And that light gets turned on. And whether they accept, reject, receive, that's not on you. The point is did you go? When I say get up the next morning and go stand in the temple, did you go? That's the point. All right? Anyway, so they're right back in front of the council of Congress saying, didn't we straightly command you that ye should not teach in this name? They can't even say his name. Bless their hearts. And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring, first of all, you've been filling Jerusalem with your doctrine. That's a good thing to say about somebody. It's getting them in trouble, but wow. Wouldn't it be great when we do evangelism, when you're on your job and you're thinking about, you know, the person next to you in a cubicle, that you have filled that person with their doctrine? They know it?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Help us, Lord. And he said, you have filled all Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Thank you, Lord. Well, when you were dealing with Barabbas and Jesus Christ, and Pilate said, you know, shall I give you Barabbas or Jesus? And you said, crucify Jesus. And Pilate said, well, you know, hey, this ain't on me. Watch my hand. And then the Pharisee said, let his blood be on our hands. Amen. So the truth is this is on them.
Exactly.
Amen. Him. And watch this. Ooh, okay, here we go. Verse 30. No. Back. 29. Then the apostles answered, Peter and the apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. I know your threats. What you going to do? Put me in jail again? Do you know what's going to happen again? Do you know I will be back here tomorrow? How many times do you want to rehearse this? What is it going to take for you to understand that Jesus is not dead? What is it going to take for you to understand that this is happening because you were in the wrong spot? What is it going to take for you to understand that you need to let Jesus Lord over your life? I'll be back to work tomorrow. I'm going to be sitting right next to you tomorrow. I'll be saying the same thing tomorrow. I'll be representing Jesus. I can't get unsaved. What do you want me to do? Come on, somebody. This is who I am. Amen? Peter says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye killed, and hanged on a tree. Verse 31 says, him hath God exalted to his right hand to be a prince and a savior. Okay, Holy Spirit. You slew him. You hung him on a tree. Do you see what's happening, people? He's coming back to the same folks. They've invited him. This is his second sermon. And I'm going to say the same thing again. You killed Jesus. We need to let you know that. What's happening? He's giving him an opportunity. He's given him an opportunity to turn. To trust and believe. To admit their guilt. To ask for forgiveness. Huh? That's what's happening. He said, God hath exalted Jesus. With his right hand. Right hand of authority, right hand of power. To be, and I love this word, prince. It's the word archegos. Archegos is a lot of words. It's
heard a preacher say it, there's so many words that it's hard to describe it all. But it's the author, the first one, the one who goes out, the creator. God created him to be the author. But that term, archagos, when it comes to, help me, Lord, when you're out at sea, that's it. The archagos is the person that's on the boat that is the best swimmer. Yeah. You have the archagos there just in case you realize that your ship is sinking. And you're able to see the shore, but you're too far to reach it. It's just, you'll never make it. The distance is too far. In your own effort, you'll drown in your, you won't make it. You know it. So what they do back in the day, they always made sure that they had an archagos. And the archagos was the one who was the best swimmer, the strongest swimmer, the one that could go the distance and make sure that he could take the rope. Oh, I love this. He could take the rope and he would swim with the rope. And what he would do is he would make sure that when he got to a certain distance and he got to shore, he would make sure that the rope was securely tied. And then he would signal to the people, it's safe for you to hold on to the rope now, because the ship is sure enough sinking and nobody's going to make it. But thank God for the archagos, who's able to swim the shore and make sure that everybody else can get the shore. But what you got to do is you got to hold on to the line. You got to put your trust in the line. So everybody's putting their faith in the archagos, who can swim the distance and reach that place that we cannot reach. Jesus Christ is the archagos. He is the one who can go past death, resurrect himself into the arms of the Father, into the right hand of the Father, where he is safe and brings safety for us. We can't do it for ourselves. We can't swim the distance. We'll drown in our sins. They made sure. He said, you killed the archagos. You killed your only hope. You can't swim that far. You can't make it to heaven. The only one who can is Jesus Christ, the archagos. He's the only one that secures our way to the other side. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. All right. He is the archagos, the prince and savior. Our savior God, the one who saves us from our sins. What was the purpose? For to give repentance. Okay. Here we go. To Israel and forgiveness of sins. Notice repentance comes first. No turning from sin. No forgiveness of sin. No. I'm okay. If you're going to say I'm okay right where I am, doing what I'm doing, I don't need to turn from this, then you are a person that's adding God to your life, not making God your life. The words of life, not the parts that you like. There's salvation found in those. Salvation is for those who repent. You turn from that and you turn to the lifeline, Jesus Christ. And you cling to the only one who can save you. That's Jesus Christ. Amen? We must turn from sin. There's no safety without turning. People, hear me. Hear me. There is no safety without turning. There is not just, I just believe. That I say it all the time. The demons believe, but not to the point of salvation. They know who Jesus Christ is, but they're not turning. We must turn, people. You must leave that crap alone. You must say, God, I don't know how to do it, but I'm turning to you for help. Amen? When you want your life saved, that's what you do. You don't say, well, hold on, I need to take, you can save my life, but can I bring this with me? He says, no, no, you can't take that with you. It's an all or nothing deal. You want me or that? People with all these interesting lifestyles and all these interesting things they want to do. And they're sitting up there talking about, you know, well, you know, I believe in Jesus and I have Jesus. And he's okay with this and he's okay with that. How are you going to live with God forever while you're spending a whole lifetime arguing with him on earth?
Woo!
I think this is okay. The Bible says it's not okay. So the only way I can make myself feel like it's okay is if I twist the Bible to make myself feel like it's okay. But that doesn't necessarily mean that God says it's okay. So what I do is I sit up there and I have a relationship with God in my own mind, by my own standards. And I say to myself, oh, God must be okay. He's okay with it because he made me this way. He says, I'm okay with that. And I'm okay. But the Bible says he's not okay. So how are you going to live forever with God when you can't even live, you know, in agreement with him here? You argue with God now. You can't live with me. I don't move people in my house that I argue with forever.
That's right. That's right, Pastor. We can't have that.
That doesn't work. It's a huge contradiction. I love Jesus, not unless you keep his commandments. And to keep his commandments, you got to first agree with them.
Okay.
Woo. Oh, I see the faces. Ow. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's move on, Pastor, before you get kicked out of your own church. Verse 32. And we are witnesses, his witnesses, of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. The proof is in the pudding. You see what the Holy Spirit is doing in me? This is the obvious witness. That's what they're saying. You see these words that are coming to us? He's brought it back to our remembrance. Everything that we need to say. When you stand before the council, I'll tell you everything you need to say. That's what Jesus said. And that's exactly what happened with the apostles. They stood before the council. They stood before those people. And what did God do? The Holy Spirit raised up in them and they spoke. We obey God and defy you. We ain't scared of you. That's the witness. There's power that's above you. We're speaking truth, and the Holy Spirit is, he's the witness of what we're saying. Guess, in other words, he's also saying, another way you look at it, is he's here now. While we're arguing, the things you're saying will be held against you. Amen? All right, what's this all about? We can't lose. What's this all about? Acts 1 and 1. Let's go all the way back to what Luke was writing. Luke says, in my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus, and I pointed this out before, I'm going to look at it again. Everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles, further instructions through the Holy Spirit. There was something that began, and then there was something that was moved forward. Everything. Jesus began to teach. And the expectation is that we would take his instructions and move it forward. Huh?
That's it.
Stand up, bro. You ever been in a relay race? Relay race, somebody starts off with the baton. This is inappropriate. I need a Bible. I'm not going to know where your place was. This is what's happening. You're in a race, right? One person starts it off. And the other person is supposed to carry it on, right? Give me John 17 and 8. You see it? Oh, that's good. That's good. Right there. Let's stay right there for a minute. So Jesus Christ began to do and teach. He starts the race. Well, what's he running with? For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, God. And they have received them. Now, when I get to this point, it's time for me to go to heaven. What do? I pass the words. And then you begin to run the race after. Do you see what's happening? They have received them and have made known surely that I come from thee. And they have believed. That thou didst send me. So here's the issue. You got the word? Are you running? Did you even show up to the race? And when you run, are you passing the baton forward? What? The word. What is the word? First of all, Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ has. Jesus Christ still is. Amen? And then I take that word and I give it to Deborah. Get up, Deborah. And you take that word. I'm gone now. And you run down and you go give that word to Sister Ruth. Amen. And Sister Ruth, get up, Ruth. We're going to get some exercise up in the church today. And you take that word. Let's see. Let's find us a good brother. And you give it to Brother Leroy, who's over there taking notes. Amen. You're running the race. That's good. Brother Leroy. Yeah, see, he got it. He got it. That's right. And you keep running. You may get your Bible back. I don't know. And you keep running and running and running. And you don't get tired. You don't give up. Do you see what's happening? Why? I gave them. What did Jesus do? He gave them the words. And then they received the words. And I know. I surely understand. I love that word, surely. No, surely that I come out from thee. She's over here. Yes. Don't go home with her Bible. Okay. Thank you. Do you see what's happening, folks?
Oh, thank you.
You see what's happening? We can't lose, people. We got protection when we get in trouble. God will bring us out. Amen. God will be there. We will be encouraged. Amen. Amen. So, what is this saying? Acts 1:1 again. Go back. Yeah. Jesus began to do and teach. Until the day he was taken up after giving his chosen apostles further instructions. They received further instructions. They're running a race now. That means their mind has been changed. The heart has been changed. The purpose in life has been changed. Their perspective has been changed, which means the way they look at trouble has been changed. What's happening? Why do we keep getting in trouble over and over and over again when we speak up? I tell you why. First of all that live godly will suffer persecution. If you're not living godly, you don't have any persecution. That's a checkpoint. Okay? But if you're out there doing what God has called you to do, you will suffer persecution. So you escape danger when the angel lets you out. Guess what? To get right back into some more danger. This is what we expect as believers. Some people have a very immature version of their Bible that says God just delivers me out of stuff just so I can have a good time. No. God delivers me so out of stuff so I can be completely and totally at comfort. And have everything I want, everything I could possibly desire. Come on, Jesus, let me milk you real quick for something else. No. No, we escape danger to get back into danger because that's what we were called for. Come on, isn't that what's happening? This is war, people. We speak the words of life. We speak the words of life. What we're seeing here is that by representing Christ, no prison can hold you. No one can stop you. The only thing that can stop you is if you decide to quit. That's it. Discouragement. I'm getting in trouble over and over again. I'm going through things over and over again. Why me? Why me? This is war. What did you expect? What did you expect? What did I expect? Huh? I had to snap out of it every now and then. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. This, I said it over and over again. This is not heaven.
No, this is not.
Last scripture and I'm done. Luke 6:22. Blessed. Oh. Morally courageous and spiritually alive, with life joy in God's goodness are you when people hate you and exclude you from their fellowship. Here he comes again. That Christian. Can't stand her. Every you got, can you turn Shirley Caesar off for one day? I mean, come on. We go to lunch. Are we going to have to ride in your car and listen to that preaching thing again? Is that that skinny guy that preaches at your church? I heard about him. When they insult you and scorn your name as evil because of your what? Association with the Son of Man. He's saying you're blessed. So for all of you Christians that are having a great time, easy going,
no, not at all.
Your house just sold for such and such, and now you're going to and I'm going to go have dinner with the Kardashians, and they're going to buy me shoes, and all this stuff, and everything's just going well. I never get in any trouble. Never get in any trouble. All who live godly. You're going to go through some persecution.
Yes, sir.
But Jesus says you're blessed. Not for the crap you get yourself into. But when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Amen? I'm done.